And I wanted to talk about the new record just for a little bit. Distant Populations, which I know came out in August digitally, and then hopefully the physical comes soon.
Yeah.
So you guys are about, you know, you're about to embark on a tour. So I guess with the new record, you went back to, you know, and I know I've listened to something, I think with Walter, you guys, recorded actually right before the pandemic and everything, right? Like, so it wasn't like something that was done during, it was like done right before. So you went back with Will Yip. So I guess if you could just talk a little bit about like the writing process and the recording of the new record and going back to Studio 4. Shout out to Will Yip, friend of mine, good dude, great producer.
I think the writing was most of the, like a ton of the material was just off of soundboard jam tapes from, you know, at least the riffs from the touring we did. And then I think Sergio and Walter both came in with some extra, you know, stuff that they had done at home, you know, but, and Will just seemed like a no-brainer. It was so easy working with him and so fun, and it sounded great.
Yeah, he's great. I think
our only concern was like that it would, you know, like doing two records with exactly the same formula. So we went and recorded with Will and then had this other great guy mix it, so it has a little bit of a different sound.
Yeah, Josh Wilbur.
Yeah, it still was super easy and super fun to make, but has, I think, you know, its own thing too.
Alan, I wanted to ask you, there's a lot of drum beats that you brought into that record that we wouldn't say are like atypical Alan Cage drum beats. And that's what's like a lot of tracks, like for example, Brushed, right? That one, it's like, whoa, I didn't expect that. And maybe you could talk about bringing that in, or was it just kind of super organic?
I mean, that was one of the tracks that Walter had that's one of his songs that he just had demoed, you know, and partly it was like, we had a song, like a full song in mind. And I remember like the drums in the beginning, it's not actually programmed drums. I just learned that it's actually Walter playing drums and then crunched and like kind of quantized. So it sounds like an electric drum set, but it's actually Walter. I think you said in your basement, right? So that's like a, you know, such a cool thing. And then I remember we were in the studio and, you know, Will wanted me to go in and play it. And I was like, why are we going to try and chase around the sound when the demo is the sound we want? Can't we just like use that? So we used that for the, and then he asked me to go in and play just like on the fly, play some stuff over what was there. And I think I just went in and played for like 5 or 10 minutes. So the beat that's like in the second half of that song is just me playing. And with the guy who mixed it, just, I guess, made the decision, like the executive decision to kind of like, you know, morph the first one into the second one and then lose the original, like the lead beat completely. So that it, like, it almost takes, like, it feels to me anyway, like there's like these two halves of the song. And everybody liked it. So we didn't, I don't think it's what we asked him to do. It was just his take on it. He seemed like it, he thought it made sense. And I remember hearing the mix and just being like, oh, I don't, like, that's not what I was expecting, but it's fucking great. So why fight it? Like, I don't have anything to add to that. And I think the beat itself in the second half is like a beat I played. And then Will had said like, hey, give me some like tom fills. And then he just kind of like, I feel like Will should get like a composition credit for like making it into like the whole thing into one beat kind of, because he just kind of like comped it together. And like, actually when we went to go practice it to play it live, I was like, oh fuck, Will gave me like kind of a big homework assignment. I have to try and learn to play this thing as one beat that was actually two beats put together. So it's fun. It just feels fun, like really organic song making in the studio.
I was going to say Will, I know Will's a drummer too. So that had, you know, he could add that kind of expertise, I guess, to, you know, hit from his point and, you know, meshing it together. And Walter, I think you got cut off, but I was talking with your brother Dylan and he gave me the, I'm not even going to call it Seahawk. We say I'm not going to say it's shinfo because it's not useful, useless info. It's useful that your nephew, also named Dylan, did the programming for that song, right? How did that come about?
My nephew's a genius, and and he knows how to use GarageBand and all these kind of things, and so I just had some, I just wanted to like give him some money to do something. So I said, here's a drum beat. Why don't you loop it? And I'll give you $20. And so that drum loop cost $20. Well, welcome to the music business, kid.
That's awesome. And how old is he?
He's 14. I guess he probably did that when he was like 12 then. Cause I had it laying around for a bit. One drum beat I really love on the record is on Phase 90, which is just something Alan started playing at a sound check, which I think is sort of like it's not like the most far out crazy thing, but for us, I think it's like a different lane that I really like the static element of it. Which I think is something that we've explored a little bit more between interiors and disimpopulations is like, you know, where maybe in the past, like we were talking about a song, like it's like this, you know what I mean? It's like up, coming down, it's turning around, doing all these different movements to hold your interest. Whereas like a song like Phase 90 or Rodan, which is another really cool groove, I think we made an attempt to like stay in the same lane, to just let it sink in a little bit more. And I think that's something that I really like about what one's doing on this record. You know, across the whole board, I think the performance is just amazing. It's got like a spontaneity to it, but it has a sturdiness that just holds you. But the fills are like musical and lyrical as always. And I think Alan and Will really work well together. I mean, I think Will just is musically, we all trust him, his opinion, respect opinion. And he's also like, never taking like some sort of like you know, hard positions on anything, so it's always an open discussion and just people's opinions, and but I think that really helps. And with the drums, it's like so essential to have that be great, you know, to, because it's like, you know, it's always the you're only as good as that usually, you know, potentially. So
I really love. He's great to work with because he's actually a really great drummer too. So, and he's like way fucking pickier than I am. Like on this record, I just went in and I, like the first day I was like, hey, do me a favor without comping anything, send me a one take of each one of the tracks, you know, like each day I'd have him send me like just one take, you know, the best take. And I'd be like, yeah, I can live with that one. So whatever, I'm sure if you're okay with it, I'll be fine with it. Because those are, you know, the first take of that was fine with me. And he's like super, you know, very, very like discerning. And that Phase 90 song I thought was really similar actually to, and Rodan both. We're both pretty similar in mood to Skinny. And they were also like, I think that like, tape from the board that when I started playing the beat and you guys just started playing, like you immediately played those riffs like on bass and guitar, and that's pretty much the song. Like mm-hmm. I think the song was like could have been the first take that we did in soundcheck, like with like slight little elements different, and you know, and the vocals obviously, but
it's the same chords.
Yeah, so I mean, that's what you started playing on guitar immediately, and that's what he played on bass. So it's kind of got like that organicness. I think that's really cool.
I'm going to be a little presumptuous here, so that means I could totally be wrong, and then I'm going to sound like a jerk when we listen to this podcast, but I'm cool with that. To me, as a listener, this sounds like a very fun record and maybe the easiest record you've made, in the sense that major label record, you're making a major label record. Second one, follow up, comeback record. We've taken all this time off. And then this record, it's like, it feels like very celebratory and fun. So yeah, that being said, prove me wrong. No,
that's totally right. I think that checks out for me. And I think also like when you brought up like, you know, bringing up Brushed or Things I Knew or any of those ones, that were quick, it was just like, we didn't second, there was no like undoing things or second guessing, which is something I think we did a lot of in the past. Like, and we'd undo a perfectly good song and it would never come out on a record because by the time we got done like working it, it wasn't good anymore. And there was like none of that on this. I think like Brush, like that's exactly the kind of song that we could have destroyed in the past and left, you know, on the side of the road. But instead it was just like, wait, why are we trying to up the, you know, if there's a good demo, let's just add to that vibe and not deconstruct it, you know, and take out the essential stuff.
I just love that every Quicksand record sounds different, but it still sounds like Quicksand. Good. But like each one, like Manic Compression does not sound like Slip, and Interiors, you know, sounds different than the first two. And I think at first for people that have been listening, I mean, you guys are, I'm sure, fans of bands where either they take a long break or they put out something that's different. And, you know, maybe at first listen as a listener, you're like, oh man, I want them to do what they did back then. But what I love is that it manages to stay fresh. Like to me, like when I listen to Distant Populations, it doesn't sound like, oh, this is a band that existed in the 90s and now they're back playing. Like it sounds fresh and current. You know, the production's great. Like I'll say full stop, it's my second favorite Quicksand album. Like already I've played the shit out of it. I mean,
it is
You know, Jason and I would message each other back and forth like when it came out, just like super excited on. I'm really excited to see the stuff live.
I couldn't imagine that, maybe I'm wrong, but this might be me being wrong, but like I can't imagine Walter or Sergio, is that not like that for me? That was like so clearly the easiest and funnest record to make out of the four records you made.
I think the way Anthony put it is actually was kind of funny that I think that the different pressures of the different albums, you know what I mean? The first one is you're making a major label record, so that's like a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
The second one, you're following it up, so that's a different kind of pressure. And then Interiors is like a whole other kind of pressure. And this one is like, let's just fucking do it and have fun. And there's no drama around.
I mean, I don't think I felt any like pressure over Interiors. I didn't get that, but I think I did. It was like, I'd never worked with Will before. So there was this like the blind faith of like, fuck, I hope this is good. You know, and we never worked with this guy before, or you had, but it was like, oh, I hope it goes well. And going in on this one was just like, it just seemed like a guarantee. Like, oh yeah, this thing's going to sound great. We just have to deliver.
I don't know if it was, there was no external pressure, but just like, here you are like saying, taking Quicksand from like, you know, and like, here's a new record. Like that's, you know, that's hard to do. It's hard to do. Yeah. And I think we pulled that off. And I think we pulled it off by, you know, believing in each other, man, you know, and support.
Super fun.
I think I'm not mentioning it, not over broadcasting it. So we can gestate in our own, you know, at our own pace.
Yeah.
And not reveal it until we felt good about it. And I think that that informed the record, you know, Distant Populations, because once we answered the question of like what Quicksand was 22 years later, we could say, now where do we want to go and what do we want to do? And, you know, like based off of what Interior sounded like, that gave us a lot to work with and that kind of, you know, gave us like information. I think we spent a lot of time processing like what we were going for and not a lot of time processing the music. We just had confidence in it, but we did spend time thinking about what we wanted out of it. and what we wanted to get across, but we had a confidence in when an idea clicked, we knew, and we knew each other well enough, and that it was good. We didn't have to do the things that we did like when we were younger, which was question it or doubt ourselves or worry. We had an ease of confidence and also the wind, you know, at our backs from interiors.
For sure. Well put.
Yeah. I also think it sets up, as all the records do, another chapter. You know what I mean? Like Quicksand isn't in a box. It's not AC/DC. If AC/DC doesn't do AC/DC, right. that's a bad day for AC/DC. You know what I mean? But, you know, incorporating all these different elements of the band, like the most melodic parts of the band, the noisiest parts of the band, the heaviest parts of the band, as a listener, selfishly, I'm like, all right, well, I haven't got my vinyl yet. When I get that, I'm going to play that out. But what's next? And that's a very nice thing to think of. You know what I mean? Like, it sets up the next thing.
Hey, yeah, thank you.
I was going to say, I wish I had the vinyl to hold up. I'm waiting on that.
On the way.
Yeah. You know,
that's just production during a pandemic.
I know. It's like,
oh, it's not a fact. You guys are lucky.
Yeah. You guys are lucky to have been able to get it in. Cause we were talking earlier. I forget if it was when we were recording, but oh yeah, you heard, they said like Indecision asked, hey, can we press something? No, we're basically closed, not closed, but like, we're too busy. Come back later.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, not a complaint. Just, I can't wait to get it.
Fortunate. We're very fortunate. I mean, we finished, wrapped up the day that we wrapped up this record, not the mix, but the tracking, was the day that started shutting down.
Oh, wow.
Right in at the wire.
Yeah.
We were getting texts. Everyone was getting texts, and it was kind of like, oh yeah, you're shutting down. I was supposed to take a trip, and that guy, you know, that was like, don't bother getting on the plane. It's not, nothing's happened. And then it was just home.
Yeah, there was that one cat at Will's studio who was like super freaked out, and it seemed like it just seemed like overkill, like he was being paranoid, you know. But obviously, he was right.
Yeah.
He was just kind of like, "What the hell are we doing here? We should all be home. We should be quarantining." And we were like, "We're going out to dinner, dude. What the fuck are you talking about?"
I know, that's what it was like in the like, that part of early March where I started hearing, I'm like, they're shutting South by Southwest down. Why?
I just remember driving home from Wells, like driving back to New York and like knowing that the schools were still open and just thinking like, I'm not sending my kid back to school this week. That's crazy. They just like, they're behind, and then they shut it down like the next day.
Mm-hmm.
But it happened so fast, you know?
Yeah.
We got super lucky.
So real quick, Jason, sorry, because I know what you're going to ask. And I meant, because, you know, I know you, we have that.
You do.
But when you originally, was this originally supposed to come out sooner than, like, you know, you finished in March of 2020?
Yeah, like, I think they had everybody, like the label, and we were just like, well, that seems crazy to put out a record that you can't go play shows on.
Okay. Like,
does make sense.
Mm-hmm. Just took more time with mixes and the artwork. We really got into the artwork, Tetsunori Nawayara, and we just made a whole, like, we were just talking about the characters and the lyrics, and Tetsunori would send us sketches, and we would just come up with like plot lines, and to try to, you know, kind of like, in some ways we're talking about Manic Compression, to you know, create a world where this music lives, and so that the subject matter for like the lyrics and all that kind of stuff, mm-hmm. could exist in a sort of, in a fantasy land where, you know, you could look at it in a kind of a different kind of Star Wars kind of way, rather than like applying it to the, you know, the kind of shit realities of our actual world that we live in, and kind of like have it exist there. And at the time, you know, like, yeah, it was before the pandemic, so it was not referring to that, but I still think that like a lot of the themes are applicable, and the artwork is really kind of pretty on the money too.
Yeah.
you know, so it's very prescient all around. But we took a lot of time with that, and it was so fun because it wasn't a hard job. It was just like, okay, now we're creating like our little Star Wars world with like the philosopher, like that dude on the front of the cover with like the staff, like he's the philosopher. And then, you know, the circle monster, like that guy's a dick. You got to deal with him. And then, you know, there's this female counterpart. We needed her. And we're like talking about kind of stuff that they could do. And, you know, and, you know, there's this sense of like a hero story, you know what I mean? And that kind of, you know, in our mind, like we're listening to the music and we didn't even give the music to Tetsunori. We just gave him lyrics. Oh, so wow. He's not even going off of music. He's just going off of concept. And so that was the most fun I ever had in doing artwork because it was just, we really got into this fantasy world. Like it was great.
You know, usually too, like it was kind of an interesting thing. Like, I feel like usually when you make, at least in our experience, when you make a record, like all that stuff is very, feels very rushed because, you know, you're focusing on making a record and then it just very quickly starts to feel like it's taking too long to finish up all the like detail stuff around it. And you're like under the gun, like you're getting pressure to like, come on, we need these artwork, we need the titles, we need this, we need the lyric, but you know, everything's got to get to them so they can start making it. And this time around, there was no pressure, like nobody was looking to rush anything. Like the late, you know, like you guys said, like the, even if the label
it was nice, it was a nice right project away, to have.
Like there's no factories that open, like nobody's pressing records or doing any, you know, like nobody's making anything for like months and nobody was pushing.
So I'm going to date the podcast right now, but I'm willfully dating it.
This is a bonus content, so you can date it.
Cool. So you played these songs together. You recorded these songs. Now you get to play these songs live. If you all want to pick like a song that you're most excited to play live in that different format, which is pretty cool, right? You have this whole suite of new tunes. And then you get to play them in a totally different, like you get to play them in front of people, which we take for total granted, right?
With Steve too. That's the other thing. Like totally different.
Oh yeah, exactly. Yeah,
so many like cool new twists. It's fun.
But yeah, I'm curious like which, if there's one.
Is this different
stand
than
out
Hot
to
Tracks then?
Yeah, this is not Tracks.
This is different. Okay.
Yeah. Walter, you want to start?
I'm stoked on all of them. I mean, it's kind of, generic. I'm really stoked on all of them. I do get a little bit of, I get jazzed up playing. I love playing Phase 90 because it's just so chill for my voice to just and to just like play three chords, and it sounds like the fucking record, which is really exciting because of that simplicity. It's really dope. But I'm also really digging playing Rodan because it's just like, I think in a live world, like versus the recording, like it's something so else, and I really love it. So maybe if I have to say one, it's I love Phase 90, but Rodan's really kind of interesting to me. I'm really digging it. But the whole record's been fun to play. It's great. Yeah.
Sergio, what song are you psyched on?
I don't have a song either. And it's like, it's different for me in the sense that it's like, I am psyched on the whole record and I would happily play everything, but it's like about song blocks for me, like sequences of songs. So mm-hmm. How songs fit together or create things. Songs to me are, you know, they don't exist as individuals. They exist in context with other things. So like, you know, like I don't think of the songs on the album. I think of the album sequences and the moments in between and how things go from place to place. Like where you place a song colors it, makes it, can make it sound heavier or faster, slower, or, and I get excited on a good, like three or four song sequence. And it's not trying to be evasive, but I don't have a given song. I like the whole album. I'm happy to play every single note, you know, like, and especially because it's our newest, B, we really love it. And we can play it well. So I couldn't really put one song in front of the others.
Yeah.
That makes sense. I almost feel like we can't really ask you guys hot tracks for this because it's so fresh. Like usually when we're asking them, it's for a record that you've lived with for decades. But so maybe just the three of us will give our hot tracks when the time comes, so that you don't feel the pressure to pick one for something that's still pretty fresh.
I really like every song. It's really crazy. Yeah. I really kind of get psyched on every single one. There's just like, and I'm not trying to like sell it or anything like that, but it's just like for real, like they're all fun to play and cool to suiting my voice. You know, playing some of the older songs is like, I have to really kind of like get, you know, man up to hit some of these things because it's like really a very demanding. Whereas these songs are like really well suited for my voice. So I'm like, just in a better, it's not like sports in the same way. Mm-hmm. You know? So I really love that, you know? It's just cool how they all work together. So not everything can be a hot track.
It's a hot album, but it flows awesome start to finish. And that's what I love about it. It's a full LP. And I think a lot of people write for singles and not as a full LP, but were there any songs that you left off of this record?
There's some, but there's one that we finished that's really awesome. And we definitely had some conversations about whether it should be on or would be another song that got left off. So we got one, I think, finished that's really great. And we have some other ones that are kind of like a little bit less finished.
Like a 4 or 5 or something.
Yeah.
So breaking news, Shovel 2.0.
Yes.
It's left off. Okay, cool.
Could we maybe then get like another like a triptych continuum type thing maybe? Like a little 12-inch with a couple of the...
Yeah, I mean, I think there's actually 4 songs I think that were like pretty done and whatever, but like one that would like was mixed, or like 1 or 2 that were mixed. So there's like the beginnings of that, but I think it was like a question of whether or not to do another, like an EP, or to just like get working on another record.
Yeah.
It's so easy with Will. Like, I'm like, why don't we just keep going? Like keep making records.
We're happy with that.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So do we host guys, do we want to give our hot tracks at least to wrap
off of this album?
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll give ours.
Oh, you guys give yours, but I really
you guys don't have to. Like I said, it's too fresh. Yeah, it's too new. If it ends up getting re-released by Rev someday in like 30 years, we'll ask you your hot track. So
I love that. I think that Phase 90 is my favorite like vocal and lyric performance by Walter on all the records.
Oh wow!
Yeah. That's a kind of no-brainer one for me. I love that song.
I'm right there. I'm right there with you.
What's that? Yeah, I love the singing. Yeah. I love the vocals, the lyrics, everything about it's great.
Yeah.
That's mine.
Sweeping chorus. It's just...
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. Me and Greg went back and forth on a text message about how much we love that song and the album. But
yeah, that's my hot track. It was between that and I love Lightning Field because it almost... When we talked actually making the playlist, I said it was almost like a sister song to Shovel in a way, like the breakdown. So it was almost like, oh, we did get Shovel on the album. It's just it's a sister. Like when I got to that point in the album when it first came out, I remembered I was just like so amped up. And it just made me like, I listened to it the first day, I think like a dozen times, like the album, just let it just keep playing while I work from home. So I just had it like cranked. So that would have been my second, but yeah, Phase 90. I love the vocal on it. I love the lyrics. I think the music, like it's just a perfect song. It's like, it's kind of like this album's Cosmonauts. Like it has that feel to it.
Yeah, it's one of the, it's also that like I had saved it from the you know doing it in a sound check and brought it back up and like pushed it with these guys like, hey, listen to this is really great, and I was like worried that it was going to just fall by the wayside, And then Walter went like, yeah, you don't really sing on it until it was recorded. And then when you came in with it, I was just like so blown away. Like, this is just, far exceeds what I thought it would be. It was so good.
I love the lyrics.
And I felt like it's like one of those things, it's kind of out of our wheelhouse. So I was like, oh, it really, you know, it could be like this cool jam instrumental and still, you know, it might just fall to the side if we can't figure out a way to, you know, to deliver it in our style with vocals or anything. Like, yeah, I love it. All right, I talked that one up. That's my hot track for all the
Pops.
He's your favorite child.
What's yours?
Oh, my hot track. So, I don't know. I like the more melodic stuff, but right now I'm feeling brolic and I'm going to go with Colossus because, you know, sometimes you just need to have something in your back pocket to be prepared in these unpredictable times. And if shit goes awry, I want to have that slow, fucking methodical survival technique. And I want to tap into that, you know, just like, you know, I want primal Anthony to shine. And I just like, I don't know, that song, just the drudge and the groove of it. So I think, yeah, you know, that's my pocket knife. I'm going with Colossus.
That song's fun as hell to play. It's just like, it's like fucking like caveman style.
Exactly. It's like Simple Machines. Like I know how to survive with this thing.
Yeah. That's hilarious. Great choices, guys.
Yeah, I can't wait to see them live. I'll be in Philly. And you guys will be in full Halloween costume because it'll be Halloween.
Are we playing on Halloween in Philly?
Yeah, and it's the last night of tour.
That sounds dangerous. Philly's all a little off the, like, it's a little anarchy.
Yeah. Let me know if you need any food suggestions in the city.
Oh, team moms.
All right, and Will be there too, probably. That's awesome.
Yeah. Oh, tattoo. You like tattooed moms?
I love it.
Yeah. They have the vegan fried chicken pickle sandwich.
Yes.
You know what's great is veg. Is it veg, right?
Veg.
That place is amazing.
I haven't been to veg. A friend of mine's opening a place called Primary Plant Based. Mm. He was the chef that did a bunch of stuff in the city, and that's like going to be like, I think it opens a little bit before the show. So
those Blackbird Philly cheesesteaks are pretty delish too.
Blackbird, yes. Good.
Blackbird pizza, yeah.
Well, guys, thank you so much.
Fresh on my mind
for taking a Monday to chat with us.
Yeah, we appreciate it.
Thank you for having.
And this the distant populations it'll be a nice treat for our patrons. So we'll use that for the patrons. And the Manic will be in a few weeks.
Yeah.
Because like I said, we just got to Rev 38 Engine Kid.
Cool.
So we're coming up on some good ones. We're coming up on Civ.
Nice.
Psyched for that. And some other heavy hitters.
Yeah. Awesome.
Cool. Thanks, guys.
Thanks again for your time.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Sergio. All. Really appreciate it so much.
Yeah.
Sergio, thank before you sign you. Off, I got to say how much I love that Deftones record, Ohms.
Oh, thank you.
And that I would walk during the pandemic when things were tightly shut down. I would just walk aimlessly and listen to that record. So I'm glad it came out when it did.
Yeah. That's another.
You're on my favorite Deftones record. And I've been a fan since the second one, which funny enough, the first time I saw Deftones, you were on bass, but it was like you were filling in. It was show in Philly at the Electric Factory. Cause that legitimized it for me because I was like, well, dude, yeah, the Deftones are cool. They got the fucking guy from Quicksand on bass. Cause I loved the Deftones and I'd be like, guys, you got to listen to Deftones. But yeah, the new record's sick.
Yeah.
Thank you. It's fun. I mean, it was something I'm proud of for sure. And, another record that just squeaked in right before it all went down.
Man.
Yeah, it really did. Yeah, it did. It came out like, but yeah, I'm a huge fan of Diamond Eyes. I always say that's like.
Oh, right on.
One. Yeah.
Yeah. Those are like, it's a, It's fun. I've learned a lot playing with them, and I think I think like Quicksand's methodology, you know, is able to kind of get kicked over to them in terms of how we go over songs and the scrutiny that we put on things. And, you know, like I'm very, very proud of my work with them.
It's awesome.
It should be. It's great.
Yeah.
And, but yeah, excited for the new Quicksand stuff.
Yeah. And, that's all I think about.
It'll be rad. Philly's going to be good. A lot of people are psyched.
Yeah.
I can't wait, man. I'm going to go as the green, you know, when it's Always Sunny, the dude that wears the green suit.
Yes. That's a great idea.
The green man.
Green man. I'm going as green man. Great talking to you guys. Guys, I got to bounce.
Okay, cool. Thanks for your time.
Appreciate it. Thank you again. Peace.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you. Bye.